Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week, we've got...
Justin Fick.
And that's it. Where is William Miller, Justin Fick?
I got no fucking idea. I heard he's working on Game.
You know, now that he's not here, I can talk shit about him now that he's not here. You know, William Miller, he's working at all big, huge games, and he keeps telling me about this big game they got coming out. They got a trailer coming out soon. How big is going to be? I'll believe it when I see it. I don't see a whole lot about it right now.
I heard he's working on Duke Nukem Forever.
Anyway, we got a lot of news.
That's not even funny anymore because it's coming out.
I know, right? So we got a lot of news. We're just going to jump right into it. This is your best damn podcast ever for February 23rd, 2011. Just Vic, I'll kick us off right now.
Do it.
Assassin's Creed. We talked about it last week. I played the second one. Hadn't played the third one. Guess what? Third one sold like Tunsardena's gangbusters. 6.5 million copies.
Damn.
Which is, I mean, that's a lot.
That's a lot of assassins.
That's more than, I guess not as many as a Red Dead Redemption. But still, that is a huge, huge number.
Yeah, I have not played the new one, but I mean, everything I hear about it is just phenomenal.
So their total earnings were, these are in euros. Is that like how many Oreo cookies you got? 520 million euros. What does that mean?
That's a lot of cookies, dude. Like, dude, if I ever start a game studio, you're paying me in cookies.
Oh, wait, no, it says here $701 million. That's okay. Insane.
Now, is this Oreos or is this double stuff? Because it makes all the difference in the world.
Dude, why do they even make single stuff? There should be, like, regular stuff should be double stuff, and then there should be a quad stuff.
Quadruple stuff? Dude, why not just go, like, in full BDPE style and just make Okta stuff?
Somebody needs to get on that.
Okta stuff Oreos.
Oh, and speaking of bizarre challenges for our listeners, I forgot that we have William Miller joining us right now via the BDPE soundboard. William Miller, what have you got to say about women?
Oh. Women in gyms are scary, all right.
Dude, I love this heat.
I don't know who put this together in the forums, and I don't think they're done. Who is? I should probably go look them up. And yeah, too much work, all right? Somebody did real good. Go check them out in the forums. But yeah,
I think today at work I must have hit the grunt button like 200 times. I shit you not. I was like sitting there with headphones like
No, here, wait,
dude,
where
hit
is
that
it?
Shit.
I love it. So if you want to check out the BDPE soundboard, go to bestdamnpodcastever.com, click on the forums button, go to the Mongler creation section. You can find it in there. It's a lot of fun. I think he's adding to it all the time too. So
nice. Yeah, I want to see some more heat.
Well, let us
know. I
love
these little toys.
I know. Let us know when you how it. I'll look him up. I'll look him up for the end of the show. Who made this heat? But yeah, so they made $701 million, Ubisoft, by December 31st, which is they made a killing off of their Just Dance, Just Dance 2, Dance Kids, and Dance Michael Jackson. So many. They had a whole bunch of Kinect games. They had that, Stay Fit Kinect or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so just hand over fist, Ubisoft making the money these days. And in addition to that, they also announced, guess what? Y'all, another Assassin's Creed be coming out this year. So they no details announced other than a new Assassin's Creed is in the works. And does it say a date? I would imagine this fall. But I guess they don't have an official date. But Assassin's Creed, I guess, 4.
It gives
is on
a
the
window.
Way.
So it says here, during its next fiscal year, starts on April 1st, 2011, ends on March 31st, 2012. So between 2 months and a year and 2 months from now.
It could be 2 months.
Yeah, it could come out in 2 months, yeah.
Then again, you know, that is a lucrative window. A lot of publishers forget about, like, the late summer, what was that? Halo Reach did really good there.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple, I can't remember now. But that's like a pretty good window to launch. Yeah. If you don't want to go for fall, late summer is really good too. So if you're into Assassin's Creed, I think I'm done with it. I don't think I'm even gonna play the third one. I've played all them tapes. But
I mean, I heard the third one is phenomenal. I'm like halfway through the first. Like I got distracted by something else, but
right.
I'm enjoying it so far. So I mean, I've been meaning to go back and play it, but then Minecraft.
Was it like they got Okay, one thing I wanted to mention just real quick. They have this thing called Assassin, like, what is it called? Ubisoft Rewards, where you play Ubisoft games and you get, like, achievements, but they're only for Ubisoft games.
Yeah, they're, like, Ubisoft specific.
Yeah, and you get to spend them to unlock content, which I think is a cool idea, but the new Assassin's Creed has more content available than points you get for playing the game. So to get all the content in Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, you have to have accumulated Ubi points or whatever from multiple Ubisoft games, not just Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Interesting.
So it's like, I see what you're trying to do there. I don't really like it. If I buy a game and I'm good at it, I should get all the treats in it. I shouldn't have to play, you know.
You shouldn't have to pick and choose.
Right. I shouldn't have to play Just Dance or whatever to get all my tapes.
I mean, I guess that's sort of the same tactic that, you know, Microsoft used for their points. I mean, you don't get anything with the with achievement points for Xbox, but, you know, it's still getting you to play games right. You would never fucking play otherwise.
But I still think that Microsoft has been
Two Cars games, Blake Buck, for fucking achievement points. Fucking shoot me in the head. Seriously, I played two fucking Cars games just to get my gamer score higher.
No, but at the same time, it would be cooler if you could, you know, every 10,000 points, they give you $10. You know, I mean, just some sort of reward system, I think, would be cool. And it's neat to see that Ubisoft on their own has kind of implemented this, whereas Microsoft is still kind of dragging their feet.
Honestly, Microsoft, for every 10,000 points I earn for GamerScore, Jay Allers, you just come to my apartment and just comfort me.
Just stare into the eyes of Allard, like exactly. What was that stupid game?
Jeff Minter, Space Tripper.
Yeah, Space Giraffe.
Space Giraffe.
I don't even think it's on. I think they've taken it off XBLA. It was so shameful.
The thing is, like, I enjoyed playing that. Believe it or not, like, it was a little too complicated for its own good, but I enjoyed it.
I just don't like Tempest, man. Tempest is just a brutal game to play. Mm. It was basically a Tempest clone. Anyway, so new Assassin's Creed. I'm sure this is going to be on multiple platforms as well. I'll get into it, the new one, eventually. But Assassin's Creed 4, probably this holiday season.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I mean to get back into it as soon as I put in my, you know, the next 500 hours into Minecraft.
I'm telling you, there's too many games out there to play, especially with Minecraft.
Yeah, right now with Minecraft, 2 is too many games.
All right, so just pick what you got.
All right, so Sony is cracking down on all the PS3 hackers out there. So now, they are now detecting and permanently banning.
Now, wasn't it just like the other week William Miller said that it was impossible for them to counteract this? Wasn't he saying, like, oh, they've broken it for life or something? Wasn't he saying, you know what, he is dumb. Wait, let me find something.
Dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb.
This is amazing.
Dude, this soundboard is my new best friend.
So they're banning people?
Yeah, so now they can, they are detecting if you are running any sort of security circumvention device or any sort of pirated software, and banned for life.
For life?
For PSN. That's
Damn.
It.
Damn. Or at least till you, you know, buy another account.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, your account is permanently terminated.
Right. So I guess that's good. Do you think they're, I mean, I don't know. William Miller acted like that the piracy on, like, some of these online games was just absolutely, or the cheating on some of these online games is absolutely rampant. I mean, I don't have a PS3, but do you think that's been working, or do you think they're never really going to get a foothold on it?
I don't know. I mean, I got a couple of opinions on the issue. I mean, as far as simply pirating software, I mean, I've been reading a lot nowadays, and read a really good article on piracy in general. Maybe this is something for another show altogether, but I mean, I've never really understood Sony's fight against the people that are using their hardware for all that it could be used for.
Look, you got to protect your, you got to look, I mean, look, this goes back to medieval times. Look, I got to protect my hut, all right? This is in, the PlayStation is in my hut. Don't be coming in here getting it.
Well, I mean, and then, you know, for instance, if I'm going to come in your hut and then kick your chickens and shit on your wife's chest or something, like, you know, that's something, but what about the guy that took his hut and hacked his hut and made his hut fucking badass. So now I got, like, I don't know, stained glass windows in my hut, and it's got rims or whatever. I don't know. But I
that's
mean,
not... You're assuming that most... Don't sugarcoat this. You're trying to say, like, oh, all hackers are just trying to pimp their ride. No, most hackers are trying to steal or cheat at games.
True. Yeah, I mean, you know, but the thing is, even the stealing of games, like, these people are still the fans of your games. I mean, right. that's something that I'm starting to come to a realization about. Like, the people that steal a game are still they're still a fan of that game. They want to play. I mean, they're being cheap fucks and they're stealing it, but they're still a fan. And I don't know. It's like, you know, for instance, with the PSP, like, I had the most fun ever with my PSP when I put Homebrew on it and circumvented the security and put all kinds of cool shit and emulators on it. You know, yeah, that's completely piracy and slap cuffs on me, whatever. But I brought my PSP around me everywhere because I could play fucking Mega Man on it.
That's true.
And then, you know, as soon as Sony cracked down, and if you wanted to play UMDs, you had to upgrade your software, and that sort of killed all the hacks and stuff that I had on it. Never played it again.
Hmm. And dude, I gotta get me one of them R4 tapes. I still haven't gotten one of them.
I enjoy my R4.
Does that work on the new? I got one of them big ones now. Does it work on them?
I don't know that. I'm hanging on to my DS Lite. Same thing. Like, there's so many cool things I can do with my DS now. I can write code for it. Like, it's a lot of fun. Like, I have a fucking version of Kill Monty that runs on my DS.
Dude, put that tape out.
There's no enemies right now. It's all buggy and messy, but. It's, you know, you run around a room and you shoot bullets, and I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. Like,
yeah.
It kind of opens up the device to a million more things that you can do with it for the people who really want to use it.
Well,
use it for everything that it can be used for.
But it's still kind of a balancing act between creating a kind of open, fun developer playground and at the same time preventing piracy and cheating in your online and, you know, copy protection schemes.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I've said nothing about cheating, and that, you know, that is a problem that hurts people who are legitimately playing the game online to have fun, and I don't know what to tell them on that one. And maybe for cheaters, that was the right move.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, there's probably more people being abused by cheaters than there are people making homebrew apps and developer playground kind of things. So, I mean, I guess in that sense, Sony did the right thing.
Yeah, I'm sure they didn't make this decision lightly. I'm sure they did weigh it up. The thing is, they are also very militantly against.
Yeah, of course, the homebrew scene.
I mean, yeah, they keep squashing it in the PSP, yeah. And it's horrible.
They did make this decision lightly because Sony has always been super opposed to any, you know, Nintendo. I guess all the big companies do. You know, why is it? Okay, here's a question: why is it that Microsoft has been able to really squash out this aspect, the piracy and the cheating? Microsoft has really been able to squash that out over the entire span of the 360's life cycle, whereas Nintendo and Sony have struggled with the same thing. Why has Microsoft done this so well? What's the difference?
I'm not sure. I don't know if it's tighter like political control. Like, for instance, you can't use any sort of peripheral with the Xbox unless it's approved specifically by Microsoft.
Another thing is
that's why all kinds of different sticks don't work on your Xbox.
Another thing, to get online, you have to have. I mean, there's no online play without an Xbox Live account. So risking anything is a what is it, $60 a year or something now, $70 a year? It's a risk you're taking. Whereas the other consoles don't really have that.
Mm-hmm. And it might also be a hardware thing too. I know, like, the PS3 hardware is very, I guess, much more standard. I guess,
right?
Might be speaking out of my ass on that.
Well, no, you can take a regular hard drive you buy from Newegg or whatever and plug it straight into the, or even flash drives and stuff. Whereas the 360, you've got I bought 4 hard drives for the fucking thing. Good God, and they're all $150. The fuck?
Yeah, no, I've never liked Xbox hard drives. I love the fact that I can get a bigger hard drive for my laptop and take the old one out of my laptop and put it in my PS3.
Yeah.
I'm like, fucking sweet.
Well, even then, like, there's a company called X Arcade who makes these classic old school arcade sticks. So years ago, yep, I made me a MAME cabinet with one of them, and you can use it on the. I get the emails from them still, and you can use it on the 360, but only if you use like this real like backwards ass way. You have to like plug it into a PlayStation adapter, which plugs into like another adapter, which plugs into the back of your Xbox. And
yeah, like I try to get that working too, because actually I'm also building a MAME cabinet, Blake Buck. I might want to pick your brain at some point.
Uh oh.
So I got
there ain't nothing in there. Ain't nothing to pick out.
What about that Kindle, son?
Dude, I read.
Filling that mind up.
I've read so many books. Moby Dick. I thought it was about dicks. Very disappointed. Well, a MAME cabinet is not really complex, though. It's just like computer in big wood case. That's basically what I made.
Mm-hmm.
Not too.
Yeah, right now I'm struggling with the monitor question.
Well, see, that's the whole design of mine was based around the monitor, because that's the largest component. I wanted to make the smallest cabinet I could that you can sit at. Nobody likes standing and playing video games. Whoever started that trend? Dumb.
Dude, I know. That's the old school arcade experience, so I've always stood up playing arcade games.
I don't like it. I get tired. I'm fat. What am I going to do? Come on.
Get bar stools, man.
I guess you could. That's true.
Well, that's the other thing, like my cabinet, I didn't build my shit. I found mine on the side of a road.
Oh, that's right. This is all,
This guy is, like, years old.
Yeah, this was, what did it used to be? I forgot this
Mortal
tale.
Mortal Kombat 2, actually.
That's right. And then, like, we had that, the contest, and people put, like, weed and shit in it.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, man. I forgot about all that.
It's actually full of weed now as we speak.
You know, we were trying. I was talking to a pseudo sushi on the forums. He was like, y'all got to start doing battles every week. And I was like, it was just Photoshops. That's what it turned into. Just Photoshops every week of dumb shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, take this picture we give you and MS Paint a dick on it.
Right, yeah, it just turned into put dicks on Blake's face. That's what it. As soon as somebody can think of something better than that. Hit us up in the forums or something. Feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com.
Maybe add some scrotums in there.
Right, yeah. This is 2011 now.
Yeah. Get the whole package, not just dicks.
So anything else on this piracy crackdown?
No, that's pretty much it. Sony's just cracking down, banned for life.
They're not crackdowning 2, though, because that would suck even more.
They might as well just crack down 1.
So going back to Microsoft here, Double Fine has actually been tasked with creating a Sesame Street Connect game. Now, I don't know what to think about this. Let me read this before I give my opinion on it. Sesame Street Once Upon a Monster will debut on the Xbox 360 for Microsoft, blah, blah, blah. During fall of 2011, players will join famous Sesame Street characters Elmo, Cookie Monster, and others as they explore an interactive story. First of all, dude, have you seen... I don't know if you've seen this on the internet. You know Cookie Monster eats celery now. The fuck?
Are you fucking shitting me?
The fuck?
I know there's a whole moderation thing they're trying to do with him, but seriously?
Right, we can be too politically correct sometimes. His name is Cookie Monster. He's not a real person. He's a blue fucking Muppet, okay? He doesn't have to be politically correct.
Are they really blaming obesity on Cookie Monster, by the way? Like, no. Really that
I think,
much?
I think they're just trying to be progressive, you know? They're like, oh, let's make him also like celery. No, he is Cookie Space Monster, okay?
No, like I honestly, if they want to be socially responsible and everything, like, have Cookie Monster just eat all his cookies, as many cookies as he wants, but just make him really fucking fat and nasty.
And none of the female Muppets like him. They all like
dismiss
him.
Yeah. Just like make Cookie Monster.
This
like
is what
this,
will happen,
like
kids.
This fat bachelor eating fucking Oreos out of the, like straight out of the carton and fucking beating off to fucking internet porn every night, just alone and sad.
They show
this is what happens if you eat cookies, children.
They show Cookie Monster at the bar and he's just drinking alone in the corner.
He's got a fucking pint and a carton of Oreos.
Oh, nom nom nom, life is bullshit. Nom nom nom. Oh, God. If only I had learned those lessons from Cookie Monster sooner.
They just had the skit with Cookie Monster alone in his apartment wearing a tank top and nothing else. Looking up fucking hentai on the internet. This is your future, kids.
Meanwhile, he's got like 6 Wikipedia articles pulled up on shit he doesn't even give a crap about. You don't need to know about Petroleum Cookie Monster. Stop masturbating.
He's like, how did I get to this fucking page? I hate my life.
This is too close to home. We got to move on. All right, players. Players will encounter and befriend monsters, solve problems, and learn. No, now listen to this. Players will encounter and befriend monsters, solve problems, and learn "quote unquote" key life skills throughout their adventures. Again,
I think we just described this game.
So here's a quote by old. Speaking of Cookie Monsters, Tim Schafer of Double Fine. He's a big man. Sesame Street. I like how if there's anybody fat in the gaming industry, we know about it and we mock them. Like, ain't nothing getting past us. How dare you be fat and make video games? Sesame Street has a profound effect on me and many members of the Double Fine team when we were children. Oh, as it did on me and many of the members, blah, blah, blah. So did video games. Now many of us are parents and we want to share the love of blah, 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 blah. Basic, like, this was written by PR goon. Yeah, let me tell you what I think about this.
This sounds like contract work because fucking Stacked and whatever else ain't selling as much as they should be.
Well, first of all, have you played Stacked yet? Or Stacking, I think it
Stacking,
is.
I'm sorry, Stacking. No.
I turned it on and there was this long cutscene at the beginning. I was drinking. Then again, that's most days. I was like, I can't sit through 10 minutes cutscene and turn it off. Maybe once I'm like, you know, not... When I'm in like a, you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, you're drinking, playing games. I want to play You Don't Know Jack. I'll get to that in a minute. That game is perfect for when you're drunk. There's like no instructions. You're just going. But anyway, I don't know about this. It seems like Tim Schafer's games and Double Fine's games have always excelled at telling unique, interesting stories with a humorous twist. And it feels like all that's been kind of sapped away by a big license like Sesame Street. They're not going to have the humor. They're not going to have the interesting stories. It's not... I feel like they're going to be phoning it in kind of thing.
Honestly, it kind of seems like this... Yeah, like this is contract work to, you know, to make them money so they can keep making games that, you know, that have awesome characters like, you know, Eddie Riggs and Brutal Legend and, you know, just keep making these games with these cool stories that don't sell.
Yeah, I guess it's how,
or maybe with the stipulation that they have to sell.
I guess that's how you got to do it. It's just like the movie industry. You got to agree to make, in order to get your criminal crime drama about, you know, lesbians produced, you've got to make the formulaic action flick, or the, you know, romantic comedy. Every other movie, you know, kind of like, you know, Kevin Smith's kind of the same way. He's got like these good movies that are make you think, and then he's got, oh, hey, check out, what was it, Police Cop or something was his last thing?
Oh, Cop Out?
Yeah, Cop Out. Which
I
is
didn't
just,
even
is,
bother with that
yeah,
shit.
I didn't even see it, but it's like, I guess you got to pay the bill somewhere. So, in addition, let me add one more thing to this. Speaking of the Kinect, because Rare certainly has focused their attention to Kinect. Lately with Kinect Sports. Xbox 360 developer Rare has been hit with layoffs.
Oh, shit.
It appears that the hints... Oh, wait a minute. Where is this? Rare's entire art department has been told that their positions are now at risk of being eliminated and that they must reapply to new management positions at Rare offices in Birmingham, England. So
Wow. They
are... Apparently, 42 people...
Did it say how many? Oh, 42?
42 people are working in their art department, and 23 jobs are waiting for them in the Burmese, so...
Oh, fuck. That's awful.
So, I guess... And even... I mean... But then again, you know, again, we talked about this. I guess it's kind of... They haven't had a hit in a while. They had, you know... Back in... I hate to say N64 days, because they've made good games since then, but they haven't really had a breakout hit since... God, what was their last breakout hit? Oh, I don't even know.
I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, nothing on Xbox. Everything they've put out on 360 has just kind of flopped. I mean, even Xbox
Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah, 3. Donkey Kong Country on Donkey Kong 64 was the last game I remember doing really well for them. Even though, did you play, we talked about Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. Really good game, just they don't seem to find, I don't know, it just hadn't seemed to land with, you know, audiences or gamers, I suppose.
No, either that or just people just, I don't know, maybe they are not into it anymore, or I don't know.
Maybe so. So I would imagine they're probably...
I couldn't tell you.
I don't know what they're working on now, but I can only imagine they're probably working on Kinect.
Now
Sports.
Nothing.
We ran out of art.
Managerial positions is what they're working on.
Taxmaster, Kinect. So I guess maybe Kinect Sports 2. And I don't know. They've been kind of quiet for a while. Maybe we'll see something at E3's coming up in a couple of, like, I guess a few months, right?
One can hope. I mean...
Bring back some classic.
I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, I think a lot of these companies, like, I hate to say it, I think a lot of these companies need to get smaller.
Maybe so. You know, maybe,
like,
you're right.
I'm not saying this is a good thing at all. Like, you know, hearing that 42 people have to fight for 23 managerial jobs while their, you know, positions are replaced by, you know, low paid temporary workers, like, that sucks.
Well, even then, listen, I mean, that does suck, but listen to this. 42 people in your art department.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's
and you guys haven't.
Enormous.
I mean, they haven't put out. I mean, what was the last game they put out? I guess Kinect Sports, which, I mean, how much art is there in Kinect Sports, really? And before that, I guess they had, like, Perfect Dark and Banjo Kazooie. You know, you don't need 42 people in your art department. I mean, in a sense, I say this, I applaud them. This is, you can get by with 23 art jobs and not 42.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I wouldn't applaud them though. But I mean, that's. I never like hearing that the people in this industry get laid off like that. Right. That always makes me upset. You know, I mean, combine this with, you know, like Bizarre Creations is going down in fucking Friday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, just before we moved on to that, I just wanted to ask William Miller what he thought about art.
So William Miller used to go to life drawing class. That's when you draw naked people.
All right. Well, thank you, William. This is even better.
It's like he's here.
But he's not talking all the time. I like this even more. I guess I'll go ahead and mention this since you brought it up. Project Gotham Racing, Geometry Wars, Blurs, and James Bond 007, not Nightfire, but Bloodstone, developer Bizarre Creations, will be shuttered at the end of, I guess, by the time you're hearing this, last week.
Yeah.
Friday will mark the end of... The end of Bizarre Creations closing. Yeah, this is, I mean, I guess there's really not too much to say about this. I guess they're just closing all shop. You said this last time, it's such a hit-driven industry. If you go just 2 or 3 years without a hit, you face losses like
this. That's it. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's, you know, it's kind of every game that comes out that you're playing on your Xbox, like, some company is betting their fucking future on it. You know, it's... Yeah. Like, it's so, yeah, you said it's so hit-driven. I mean, I would love to see things just get, you know, streamlined and,
yeah,
you know,
there's
like,
no,
like,
there's,
like, every time I see, one of these companies, like, close doors or lay people off, like, I really want these people to, you know, like 19 art people at Rare losing their jobs. Bizarre, I think, is, like, what was it here, like, 200 people
mm-hmm.
at its peak.
Yeah, it was
it's
a
like,
big team.
Like, I mean, there's a lot of, you know... Small independent teams that can form out of that, and I hope they do.
Yeah,
you know, well, I would love to see out of that 200 people, you know, maybe like 53 or 4 man teams form out of it and make 50 small games. Like, that would fucking give
see,
me
I
a
feel
full
like,
on class 5 chub.
I feel like there's a kind of a bubble that's sort of formed that's now bursting in the gaming industry. Maybe I'm overreaching here, and this is I'm over dramatizing what's happening. But I feel like you had kind of mid. To, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10 on developer size and clout, you had these kind of mid, you know, 5 to 7 range developers who got really big but weren't able to produce the results of a 10, and now they're just fucking dying off. We're seeing the kind of mid-level. You see small teams doing really well. You see the AAA giant teams doing well, but this middle ground is sort of disappearing.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, a lot of these games, they are... You know, like, they're so... I don't know if I call it a bubble. I would call it top-heavy.
Right.
Like, it's... All these games that are coming out now, I mean, just these $60 behemoths of 20 hours of gameplay and HD graphics. And the thing is, like, these games aren't necessarily better.
Yeah, you know, we sound like such old men. We're like, these kids in their HD. In my day, you made a game on a shoestring and a smile.
But, I mean, yeah, I was like, we sound like old people, but, you know, like, these games really aren't giving you anything new. I mean, for the most part. Some of them are.
No, they're like, still innovative. In fact, I don't think you could say that. I think the industry as a whole is more innovative now than it's ever been. Just as like the year before, there's tons, leaps and bounds of innovation happening. But it seems like there's less. I don't know. There's less room for the middleman. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I think what needs to happen. I mean, because we're kind of. I'm gonna speculate. We're kind of peeking out as far as the capabilities graphically of these systems. Like, we have HD graphics now. They look fucking sick. But the problem is you need a lot of money to do it and a lot of people. And right. I think the next round of innovations for these will be, you know, middleware and solutions such that, you know, instead of needing 200 people over 2 years to make one of these games, you can do it with 50 people in a year. Right. You know, making smaller companies able to make a
well,
game
even then,
with
you even look at
this
the triple
sort of graphical ability.
You look at the hit-driven industries of Madden. You look at even Halo and even Call of Duty, Assassin's Creed. These companies are moving towards yearly releases because mm-hmm. that's the way they make the most money, and apparently that's what the fans want. Assassin's Creed has come out every single year since the first one, and. Because they've been able to do that, they've been able to make profits year after year. Same thing with Halo. We had Halo, I guess Halo 3 had a 2 year stint until Halo Reach, but you had then you had Halo, Halo Reach, and then what was it, ODST, right? And then there's even rumblings around the internet they're going to have kind of a Halo 1 HD come out this fall, perhaps.
Well, I mean, I would sort of categorize Halo, you know, like the different Halo games as being different from Madden. I mean, you look at Halo 1, 2, 3, like, they're all the same experience, but ODST experience-wise is something completely different. It's the same mechanic, you're still shooting shit, but, you know, just, like, the experience you get from playing ODST is one of, you know, it's, like, honestly, it was like the mist of Halo games. Like, it was just sort of like that solitary exploration, you know, feeling, but you have a, it's like you're playing Myst, but your guy's a machine gun, you know, and then Halo Reach was something completely different from that.
Right.
You know, it's like Saving Private Ryan in Halo form. Like,
yeah.
You know, but each of these gave you a different experience. Madden is designed to be the same game every year. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying that's, you know, they kind of hit something that they're not trying to reinvent Madden every year. They just want to make it current. And people dig that. You know, Madden sells like a motherfucker every year.
I know, and it's because they can put it out every year. And why not? If that's what the people want, that's what you can make, why not put it out every year?
I mean, that's what people want out of Madden.
But at the same time, that's what also leads to what we talked about last week with sort of franchise fatigue, where, okay, we had a Guitar Hero this year and another Guitar Hero the next year and another Guitar Hero the next year. And then, hey, guess what? By the time we've hit 5 years, we're really tired of Guitar Hero and you've sort of burned that into the ground. But I guess that's sort of how the industry just evolves naturally. I mean, even Mario is sort of the same way, right? Well, they don't put Mario games out every year, I guess.
No, because I mean, like Mario has been a different experience every year. You know, there's Mario game after Mario game, but they're different. You know, I think it just speaks to the lifetime of the game that it is. I mean, Madden is football.
Right.
Football's been around for a very fucking long time. People love football. People watch football on television every year. You know, so football doesn't need to change. You know, but
well, I mean,
you know,
they
and
could,
then, and then mean, to a point, you know, things like Call of Duty, I think people get that. I think the military shooter is sort of edging towards that as well. Like, people don't want a new experience, they just want the current experience of Call of Duty, and they'll buy whatever shit that Activision comes out with, you know. I mean, and then I'm not saying these games are shit, but, you know, Activision can kind of just remake Call of Duty, until you know, and that will have a much longer lifetime. It already has than Guitar Hero, where they kind of tried doing that with Guitar Hero, and that one just, you know, people didn't stay interested in it.
Right.
You know, I mean, that did not have as long of a lifetime as, you know, I don't know. I guess people grew out of it. But you don't grow out of football. You don't grow out of shooting people in the face.
You look at the World War II shooter genre. It was a fad that happened, and I think everybody, you know, we collectively got done with that. We blew our wad with Call of Duty, or at least the military World War II style. And now you really don't. I mean, what was the last World War II shooter released?
True. Maybe it's just war.
Right.
You know, like war games, like that, you know, like World War II, we're done with that. Now we're going to go on to these modern
warfare. Right, and maybe space will come back, you know, or perfect. You remember like, you know, a couple of years ago, it was all Perfect Dark and Two Rock, kind of the cyber themed. You know, maybe that'll come back around the sci-fi sort of angle. Oh, speaking of which, I was going to say, Jet Force Gemini, game they need to release so bad on XBLA or something. Dude, that game was great. Did you play it back in the day by Rare?
I did not, actually. I don't even know if I've heard of this one.
Dude, Jet...
What was it for?
Jet Force Gemini was for N64.
Oh, that's why.
One reason that a lot of people don't like it is they said it had a complicated control scheme. This was one of the first games that ever used the dual analog control. Okay. But it wasn't analog because the C buttons were your move, right? So it was awkward, you know, and that idea was, but...
Wait,
I'm
so
saying,
you're using C buttons in one hand and the stick with the other
to move or to aim.
Okay, interesting.
But this was a pioneering idea at the time. A lot of people are like, oh, Time Killers was the first... No, I really think Jet Force Gemini was the first dual stick, dual thumb shooter. But
I remember, it's not a great game by any means, but... one of the few games I did have for the N64 was the Robotron.
Oh, right, yeah.
And they didn't really do a good job with it, but it had the dual stick. You could plug in two Nintendo 64 sticks and dual stick it up.
Oh, nice.
Well, that was actually it was a lot of fun just to play a game like that, but it wasn't a good.
I remember
Robotron
they
game.
Had Smash TV. They were on NES. You could plug in two controllers and get dual, you know, analog Smash TV like that. And I was thinking, man, this is the future. Two tapes.
I've looked at, you know, the Smash TV ROM, and I was like, I would never play this because how the fuck am I going to play Smash TV on the stick? But I had no idea you could just plug in two sticks.
What's up, Slick?
William Miller.
Hey, guys.
You're already like 37 minutes late, bruh.
Well, you know, I got a job, bruh. I had to do it tonight. But I'm glad to be back. What are y'all talking about?
Well, we were phoning you in with the soundboard that's on the forums.
How's that working out? I bet it was pretty close.
Phenomenally.
dumb. Yeah, just like me.
It's the same thing.
It's like you never left.
By the way, I got to give shout outs to, let me look who actually made the soundboard. It's
Pseudo Sushi needs to give this man some battle points.
It's Super Derp, I guess is how you say that on the forums. And I'm going on the forums right now. I'm like, I'm looking up who is on here, and I'm like, okay, it's Super Derp. Nice work, Super Derp. And then I look at my avatar, right? and somebody keeps fucking with my avatar. The other day they took it down. Now I look and it's my regular avatar, and a dick comes on the screen. And skeets on my face. Like, I made this website. Why am I getting skeeted on? And it just sneaks in from the bottom right and just blam.
So TK showed me that today. I'm working late. I'm burning the midnight oil. TK's like, let me show you something. Go to the website or go to the forum and look at Blake Book. So I go on there. I'm like, it doesn't look any. Oh wait, there it is. I see it sneaking up.
I can't change it now. It's a badge of honor. Anyway,
great. Now I can't look at the forums at work.
Fantastic, dude. You should not be looking at the forums ever. It's just a sad, sad, dark place. Anyway, thanks to Super Derp for hooking us up with these soundboards, and I think he's still working on them. So we'll keep you guys posted, and check out the forums if you want to play around with it yourself.
I believe this man should have a battle point for every sound that he adds to the soundboard. Also, battle points to whoever put dicks into Blake Buck's avatar.
Justific, what do you got for us?
Sony is allegedly readying another gaming tablet. So it's going to be called the S1 tablet. And it will be another mobile device that will play PlayStation games. So it's going to be running on the Google Android operating system. And this is yet another tablet that's going to be competing with the iPad, which will be obsolete in a couple months anyway.
Yeah. Now, when is that? When is that new tape coming out? The new iPad.
I have no idea. Nothing's been announced yet.
No, but didn't the last one came out in, like, I would say late spring, I thought. Didn't the iPad originally come out late spring? It seems like Apple has about a year life cycle.
Yeah.
So it seems likely we're going to see a refresh soon. You think they're going to decrease the price?
I would hope so.
I don't think so. You think they might?
I hope so. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
So, yeah, so this thing is going to be boasting a 9.4-inch screen, 1280 by 800, and a Tegra 2 processor. Fuck knows what that is. I think the best part about this article, though, is this concept sketch that they're rocking out here. So there's there's a sketch of this device. This is seriously, like, I'm impressed with Sony's ingenuity in this drawing. Where's my Skype?
William, you are recording, right?
Dude.
Oh, like that's so. That's so, like,
what do you think
would never
this
make...
is over here? Is this amateur hour? Is that what you're accusing? Also, I'd like to point out how quickly I was able to get home and set my shit up and start recording. It was almost instantaneous.
Yeah, it's almost like it's almost like you were here at the start of the show and were ready to do it like everyone else. You know,
that actually wasn't a soundboard. I was just making those noises.
Where are you?
That's what we should start doing. It's actually like we should actually just start taking shifts. Like, one of us just, you know, we can just, like, leave the podcast midway to go eat Oreo cookies and jerk off, and then the rest of us can just fill it in with the soundboard.
So I'm Justific. I'm looking at this. This sketch.
Is this not ingenious?
Is this
what the
a
fuck
joke?
Am I looking at here?
This is a sketch of what appears to be a piece of paper folded in half.
Sony's new gaming tablet.
This is the new gaming tablet that will compete with the iPad.
Yeah, good luck
with that. Do we still do images in the podcast? I'll put this up in the feed or something if we do.
That would be like an extra 5 seconds of work at the end of the show. That's not happening.
Fuck that. Just imagine, if you will. So say you, like, you're writing a letter and you fold the first third down. That is the concept sketch that Sony has provided the internet.
It looks like a really, like, stylized concept drawing of a woman's purse. Like a handbag or something.
You know, I think Sony has the potential to compete with Apple, but certainly they've got a huge uphill battle in front of them.
Yeah, like they're fighting on a lot of fronts, actually. Like a tablet coming out is the new PlayStation phone or whatever that is. You know, like, they're picking a lot of fights.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, you know, I love Sony's hardware so much, but, like, every time they come out with something, they do something to fuck it up.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, you look at the past, 5 or 6 years of Sony's hardware releases, there's always been some caveat that's just...
I mean, it's just some little thing that's just wrong that just ends up ruining the whole thing, like UMD drives. Like Sony could come out with... You know, like the best gaming console in the world, but it's just got, like, a large erect penis coming out of the fucking DVD drive or something. It's just something they do every time to fuck it up.
No, that's it. That's my avatar, dude. That's not the same thing.
I mean, that's the only thing I can think of, because I closed that concept art and I went back to the forums and there's this cock just skeeting all over your face. I'm like fucking Kaiser Soze trying to read the bulletin board. All I see is this dick on your avatar. I'm like, goddammit.
Moving along, Xbox, you know, they have their summer releases. Then they started having this thing called Block Party. Now they got it. They're calling it House Party, coming out this year around beginning of March. Xbox Live Arcade House Party, which has 4-5 releases in it. Now, but most of these are actually fairly significant. The first one up they have is this thing called Hardcore : uprising. Not, well, it doesn't actually say, does it say : uprising?
This, the whole thing sounds dirty. Hardcore : uprising.
I think it's just because these dicks are on the forums now. We can't help it. But I watched a video for this Hardcore Uprising. It looks kind of like Contra, kind of cool. It's a 3D world, but you're on a 2D plane with 2D sprites, which was a little weird.
Oh, is this supposedly the prequel to Contra, or is this something totally different?
I don't know if it's actually affiliated with Contra or not. It's by Arc System Works. It's coming in at $15. I don't know. I've played so many Contra clones, and I suck at all of them. Oh, Jesus.
Dude, look, the only people that get to make Contra anymore is a small company in California called WayForward.
Agreed.
Those guys made Contra 4 on the DS, and that game is tight. It's like it hits the mark on graphics, on difficulty, on everything.
On shirtless men. All of them.
Exactly.
Indeed.
So they're the only ones that get to make Contra anymore.
Following that, they're also going to be coming out with Bejeweled Blitz on February 23rd. This is one where you, instead of, you know, moving them left and right, you swap the circle. Circle swap jewels.
Blitz is the one where it gives you a minute to get as many points as you can.
Oh, no. What am I thinking of then?
You're thinking of Twist.
I'm thinking of Twist. Oh, I love Twist. Damn it, I wish it was Twist. No, dude, screw Blitz.
I think, from what I understand, it has Twist in it.
Oh, that one makes sense. Because, yeah, Blitz is mostly the same as the original Bejeweled 2, if I'm remembering correctly. Anyway, next up, and that's going to be $10. That's a pretty decent price. Microsoft has had a tendency, over the past year, to overprice some of these XBLA releases. And most of these are on the cheaper side. Beyond Good and Evil HD is coming out March 2nd.
I'm on it.
I never played the original. People tell me it's good. It was a gem. Did you guys hit it up?
Yeah.
I have not. I mean, I'm waiting for the HD release to jump on that shit.
Right.
So that's going to be day one purchase for me.
And luckily it's $10 as well. So it's a little cheaper than normally. Second to last, we've got Torchlight coming out on March 9th for $15. I played Torchlight on Steam. It was a lot of fun. I loved it. It seems like it's going to be a lot of fun on consoles. There's no two-player.
Boom.
I mean, I know the original didn't have two-player. There was the original game didn't have multiplayer.
Hold up. Are
you
sure that the original...
Torchlight is a single-player game.
No.
Look it up. I've read it on Wikipedia just to make sure today.
Well, they sure tricked me into thinking it wasn't. I was like, I played through that whole demo. I'm like, ooh, I'm playing this with my friends. Nope. Well,
for those of you that don't know, it's basically like Diablo 2 with World of Warcraft graphics. Kind of the top down. Basically what Diablo 3 should have been about 4 years ago. I don't know why we've been waiting so long. But it's a good game.
Diablo 3 has a wizard with a laser.
But I don't know. Without two player, I just can't see myself getting too into this without... Because that's the whole point of Diablo, is getting more codes than the other dude.
Codes.
Finally, they're wrapping it up on March 16th with Full House Poker for 800 points, which is supposedly the spiritual successor to 1 versus 100. It's got some sort of, you know, connectivity, social networking element where you play it with a bunch of people. Don't know much about it, but people are excited.
That could be a lot
I'm
of fun,
fucking,
or it could fall flat in his face.
I'm going to botnet that shit.
You're gonna what?
I'm gonna do. I'm gonna Watson botnet that game.
I don't know what does that even mean?
Yeah, you've been watching Watson playing Jeopardy. Do you know what's going on around you at any given time?
Let me tell you, TV is about the last thing on my mind. I can't get titties on TV. I don't watch it.
All right. Well, pretty much what this is for Blake Buck. So IBM is in the business of doing incredible things. In the 80s, they did the Kasparov match, right, with Deep Blue. Actually, that was probably, early 90s?
Deep Blue lost.
Do that, just to fix?
Deep Blue lost,
no,
didn't
it? No, dude, Deep Blue did not lose. It tied Kasparov and then beat him. Done.
That's a lose.
So they did that. and then they were like, all right, well, what's next? So we're going to build a computer that can compete and win Jeopardy. It can, like, understand the natural language questions of Jeopardy and win against the best players.
Okay.
And so they've been working on this since, like, I don't know. They've been working on it for a couple years. And this is the third and final night tonight that that Watson, which is the computer's name, will compete on Jeopardy. It's got Alex Trebek and then the top two Jeopardy players, Ken, somebody, and I don't remember what the dude's
look,
name
you act
are,
like
but.
This is like in the American group thing. Nobody knows this shit but like tech blog readers like you, William Miller. No one knows
dude.
This shit. Who won, Justin, who won Best New Artist at the Grammys?
I know this shit. It's on national TV. It's going all around right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, it's on. It's like,
oh, yeah?
It has replaced Jeopardy.
Who won Best New Artist at the Grammys? You don't fucking know. So don't tell me, everybody knows this.
Watson.
Something I hadn't heard of before.
It wasn't no Bieber, and he is my hero.
It was not no
Justin,
Bieber.
Justin Bieber is the little version of Blake Buck. I don't know if y'all knew that. That is me.
But anyway, Watson, this is a pretty cool thing. He's not connected to the internet. Uh-huh. He even pushes the button, the buzzer button manually with this little piston.
Huh.
Like he's working under the same constraints as the Jeopardy contestants. And he tied the first night. He obliterated the humans the next night. And then I don't know how he's doing tonight.
I don't think this is near as impressive as a chess playing computer.
Are you fucking kidding
all
me?
You
all chess, look, all chess is...
Dude, any fuckhead can make a chess AI.
Yeah, chess AI is easy. You just
no, but
you
a championship-level chess
crunch.
AI is very,
no.
very difficult to make.
No,
this,
you just need, a lot of codes.
With this, you just load infinite trivia into a fucking computer, and...
And then, no, you don't. You can't do that. That's the thing. Like, you can't just load up a bunch of questions, because the domain space of Jeopardy is so big.
I understand what you're...
You don't understand anything.
Damn it.
Dumb. Listen,
Justin Bieber.
This is important because A, it has the natural language recognition part, right? It can actually understand the nuances of the questions, which is part of what makes Jeopardy so difficult. And B, it can parse like massive amounts of data that they fit into it. I'm talking like books, movies, plays, scientific journals, all of this shit, like terabytes upon terabytes of data in a split second, and then answer the questions. It's phenomenal. It's really, really cool. So anyway, I'm going to take that. And I'm going to put it on this new 1 versus 100. I'm going to win every time. What it all comes down to. All
right. Anyway, that's the house party releases coming up over the next couple of weeks. So check those out. Most of them sound pretty interesting. So
yeah, I always like these little, you know, like the house parties or the summers of arcade that Xbox does. Like they always have good stuff.
Indeed. So, Jessica, you got any more news for us?
Let me see. Yes, I do, actually. Going back to our topic of fat guys and gaming. Gabe Newell, president of Valve, has said that Valve is more profitable per employee than Google or Apple.
Hmm.
So, this is,
I don't know if I... Is that true?
Valve, I don't doubt it for a second, dude. I mean, Valve is Steam. You know, they were estimated to be worth, it says here, between $2 and $4 billion with a B dollars.
Damn.
By the way, Gabe Newell owns half of that.
Half of it he invested in cookies.
Actually, yeah, like instead of having Cookie Monster on Sesame Street, just have Gabe Newell. Just like eating cookies surrounded by stacks of fucking money.
Gabe Newell love Half-Life 2, blah 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 blah.
So
that doesn't surprise me at all. I think if you were to take just their video game ventures, like their original title ventures, then that would not be the case at all.
Yeah.
But
no way.
I mean,
that
Steam
would.
Is huge. That's like the backbone of digital distribution.
The PC gaming industry. I mean, I would argue that Steam makes more money now than retail releases do.
Oh yeah.
You think so?
If not, it's really getting close.
Steam is the PC game industry right now. There's Steam and the Mac App Store.
Right, that's why William was like, Mac App Store, dude. Steam is a juggernaut. Don't sell them, out just yet.
All right.
So I'm not comparing the Mac App Store to Steam. That's actually said in jest. Like, there's Mac gaming and there's Steam. You know, Steam is fucking everything. On the PC.
Okay,
like,
so
it's
on
just...
the PC, yes. But if you... I don't think it matches retail for consoles at all.
Certainly not consoles. Well, there
is, you can't get the games on there. But I mean, like, digital distribution on consoles versus...
Yeah, but I mean, you know, consider that console... The console industry is, you know, three huge companies like Microsoft, Nintendo, Sony, all taking chunks of this and that from publishers and giving up the money. Steam is Valve. One company. And they're kicking fucking, 70% to their developers, and they're keeping 30% of everything.
Yeah, and that's not even though Steam is complicated, it's not a thing that takes so many people to run. You know, you don't have to have a staff of hundreds or thousands to run Steam. It's a still a relatively simple program. And yeah, I'd say this is definitely a true stat in terms of per employee.
I think they did that right, and they got their DRM right. Like, DRM on Steam works. You know, it's like one of the few ways that, it just works.
You can't play a game when, can you play a game when you're not online? Like, for X number of days or something? There's some stipulation where you don't.
When has that ever mattered? Dude, like, since 1998, when has that ever mattered?
My internet gets cut off all the time. I can't pay my bills, son. It's bad.
You don't need to be playing games anyway, Blake Buck. You need to get a job. That's what you need to do.
Oh, my God. Look.
This is for talking bad about the Mac App Store, you asshole.
What? I'm poor forever? God damn it. All right.
It's the curse of Steve Jobs. So, I guess the other thing, too, is, Valve is, everything they make is, it sells like a motherfucker, and it's very well loved. Like, just think about their titles, like Half-Life, Left 4 Dead. You know, Portal is like the darling of everybody. Everyone on Steam fucking loves it. I mean, there's awesome sales all the time, and people can buy like 50 games for like 25 cents, and they'll go buy like 200 games on Steam. And you know, it's very friendly to that audience. Like, it's very, like just all the mod friendliness of it. It's just, very much caters. They're the opposite of Sony. Sony's like, fuck your homebrew, and Steam is like, dude, we love you guys.
Right. Yeah, so that's why
they're making more money per employee.
You've seen games that have like really launched themselves that started off as mods, like what's that game called? Killing Floor? That game was like a mod for Unreal that Steam helped launch, and is like a competitor in some regards to Left 4 Dead. And they sort of like, because Steam is so open and they help promote small things like that, they made everybody money, and it's awesome.
Yeah, and they jump on games like, like Braid, or they're a bunch of indie titles that they've just picked up and put on the store. I mean, they're real good about that. They like that a lot.
Now, one thing we talked about Left 4 Dead, Justin Fick. Do we want to mention this trailer you showed me earlier today?
Oh, fucking it.
Oh, my
yes.
God.
Certainly you have either seen or heard talk of by now the trailer for a game called Dead Island. And this is seriously the most incredible fucking game trailer I've ever seen in my entire fucking life.
It's the best trailer of any game ever. Come on, dude.
Ever.
Shinmu.
Ever. Ever.
Shinmu, yes.
It's good, but calm down, dude.
Ever.
All right, so what? Describe the trailer to us. How's it go?
So the trailer is it starts off with sort of like a pan out of a little girl's eye. It's a body on the ground, but then it starts moving backwards, and it turns out that the whole trailer is being sort of told backwards. So the girl raises up off the ground and flies up 20 stories in through a window. And it ends up being like this really like depressing, heartbreaking, ends up being a family on vacation. The girl gets attacked by zombies and she gets killed, and the parents are like, they put her down. The girl kills her fucking dad and gets thrown out the window. Like, it's, you just gotta see it. It's incredible.
It's the old art formula. It's the old Reservoir Dogs art formula.
Yeah. It's Memento. It's Memento in game trailer format.
Exactly.
And it's incredible. And it's the way that it creates the characters, and the way that, it makes you care about them in the span of literally like 45 seconds.
I thought it was really cool, but I don't know if it made me want to buy the game.
No, yeah. The game itself, to me, sounds suspect as hell. I will admit that right now.
I went and looked it up online. Their website is like under construction.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Their Wikipedia article says it is going to be a first-person shooter with zombies. Like, oh really? Like, tell me more.
Yeah, like everything about the game just sounds suspect. I mean, I saw the tagline where it's like, they said it was like Far Cry meets Lost meets Resident Evil.
Oh, fucking bullshit. Are you kidding me?
So I'm like,
oh, it's basically chocolate meets peanut butter.
Yeah, pretty much. Like it sounds like marketing bullshit. And you look at the, you know, like there's only two other videos out there of this game ever. Like supposedly it started development in 2007, and it is what was it, the Call of Juarez guys, and it got canned for like 3 years, and they put out a couple. You know, a couple videos in the beginning, like there is a teaser trailer of this, I guess, like this island, like vacation resort spot. And then it cut to like 2 seconds of a zombie's face. and then there's like another, you know, another video a year later of like their tech, which, you know, was just, it was pretty much just a spinning model. A spinning model of a zombie's face with like text on it that says all this thing that their tech can do, and it's just like, you know, and that was in 2008, and now we're in 2011. I'm totally giving this game suspect.
None of this trailer was in game. It was all pre-rendered. You know, suspect eye, but still very impressive trailer.
Yeah, I mean, like the trailer is brilliant. I mean, the thing I think that worries me the most is that. The reason why this trailer is brilliant is because of the storytelling and because of the characters and because you care about them, and it's a fucking tragic story. You know, like it's a story like the girl is running for her life and she's running for her parents and she doesn't make it. And the dad, like, you know, saves her after it's too late. She dies and goes and kills him and she gets thrown out of a window. Like it's fucking heart-wrenching. But you can't do that in a game.
Yeah.
Like that is something.
Especially
that was,
a game
that
of
was
that
perfectly
format.
Curated. Yeah. Like it was, you know, like that every little movement, every little facial expression that in that trailer was deliberate. Mm-hmm. And those are things that games just do not do.
It's true.
So if they can do that in the game, then I will be as impressed with the game as I was with this trailer. But I don't think it's going
to
happen.
What does William Miller want to do in a zombie game? I don't want to cry. That's not what I want to do in a zombie game.
William,
I
mean, you just don't have a heart.
No, I have too much of a heart. Like it broke my heart seeing that trailer. I don't want my heart broke when I'm playing my zombie tape. Come on.
You know, it said on the website, it's like, oh, featuring the storytelling style of George Romero. What? Have you seen his movies? Like, they're not real fucking deep.
No, so, honestly, like, the storytelling style, that trailer was Lost.
Yeah.
That was the show Lost with zombies. Like, it, like everything for, like the cinematography, like, you know, the fucking pan out from the eye, like, that was Lost. So I don't think they can keep that up for the length of a game. I think that game will be in development until 2013, and it will still not be out.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, we'll keep you guys posted as we find out more details.
No, I'm just gonna say, like, by the time it does come out, it's gonna have to compete with Dead Rising 6, where I'll be able to duct tape a lawnmower to my dick and just swing it around.
You will rape zombies to death.
Yes. I will cock slap a zombie with a lawnmower.
Now it's time for releases. All right. This weekend releases Killzone 3. It's the sequel to the squad, blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you, Killzone 1, did anybody play that? Of course you didn't, because it sucked dick. I don't know how they went from Killzone 1 to Killzone 2, where like Killzone 2 was just an amazing IP that everybody gobbled up. Killzone 1 was a terrible game. But the third one coming out, I hear it's pretty decent. And it's got you know, all the classic formula and more 3D, which is all anybody wants these days. Avatar.
Wait, has anybody played a 3D game before?
Don't you can't.
Like, does that even exist? I know we put it on boxes, game boxes look, now. Like who does that?
Don't ask me. All right, I have no money. I have the opposite of money. I have rocks. Bulletstorm also coming out for PC, PS3, and Xbox.
I'm excited about this one,
dude. I played the demo. It looks great. It's the dudes that made Painkiller. Just ridiculous action. There's a foot button. I think that says it all. There is a button for your foot to kick. Done.
Yeah, so I downloaded the demo of this game, too, and I tried to play it. And, maybe, you know, I was a little drunk. I won't lie. But I could not play that game at all. And I played through the thing, and then at the very end of the, like, I got killed, right, after probably 5 minutes of play. Uh-huh. And then it says, you've won. And it and then it goes into the, you know, the footage of the actual game. I'm like, no matter how bad I did, it didn't matter.
You win.
I win. Yeah.
I don't know about that. Yeah. I want the meek to be punished in this game.
William, you're not real good at dual sticks. You just like heard of them for the first time the other day. Two sticks at once in a shooter? What?
How can be?
Alright. We have a fantasy role-playing game called...
it should be for Miller.
Hyperdimension Neptunia.
Oh, wow. That should be for me.
What is this? I didn't
Players take
this.
The role of Neptune and follow her quest to save the captive Historia.
Oh, Lord.
Alrighty. I see anime boo-boo chicks on it.
Oh, I like this next game, Justin.
Trapped Dead.
Trapped Dead.
Trapped Dead. Devise tactics to rid a small community of the living dead.
So basically Blood Island or whatever it was.
This is another zombie game that's beat Dead Island to the punch.
Right. Here's another one for William. Radiant Historia. So on the DS, you take the role of Stock. With the resolution of disaster. I'm not even reading this garbage. I'm going to read the plot of Radiant Historia out loud
looks like an RPG where the gameplay is read history.
Yeah. And other than that, the rest of these releases are kind of butt. So, you want to say any of these?
I see none of this shit.
New Vegas getting some DLC on the PS3 called Dead Money. I think that already came out on 360, though.
Wow, they're still making EverQuest games?
Oh, really? Oh, my
EverQuest,
God.
EverQuest 2, Destiny of Velius.
EverQuest 2 came out almost the exact same time as World of Warcraft. Look who won.
Yeah. Presents an all-in-one compilation pack loaded with the EverQuest 2 base game, 7 expansions, and 3 adventure packs.
Oh, God.
This is called EverQuest 2 Desperation.
All right, well, if you're into those, check them out. It's time for judgment. All right, Wemill, you want to go first? Because you have a judgment, right?
Oh, what was my judgment on?
Oh, here, you be thinking.
Oh, yeah. I got it. All right, so every once in a while, since, you know, you work at game studio, sometimes you get free codes for games, right? You can go on there, PlayStation or Xbox, you type in that code, you get a game. So William Miller got two codes a couple weeks ago for Deathspank and Deathspank 2. Mm-hmm. Now, Deathspank is made by Hothead, I think. Hang on, let me make sure of that. I don't know what I'm going to get when I type this into Google.
You're going to get that graphic on the avatar on the forums.
I don't know. I think it's made by Hothead. Anyway, it's kind of a Diablo clone, but it's real silly. It's like the art style is real cartoony, and you know, the story is the voice actor for the main character sounds like Bruce Campbell, sort of. And I don't know, it's very tongue-in-cheek, and I've had a really fun time with it.
Diablo played, with poop.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I mean, if you took Hothead and asked them to make Diablo, what they would make.
This game looks good, but I usually only like these kinds of games if they got two players. This got some sort of two-player tape on it?
It does not have two-player tape.
I thought it did.
Which is unfortunate.
I thought it did.
I thought it had like a drop-in, you play like a ghost or something.
Yeah,
like,
maybe it does.
Yeah, it's not too Deathspank, but I think he has some sort of like mage buddy.
Yeah, it's not like fully featured. You both can level up, I don't think, but... You know, you got a little. If you have two players, you can both kind of grind through and have fun. But I don't think it's full featured two player like two different Death Spanks.
Well, two different Death Spanks. Well, I hadn't tried that double Death Spank yet. but the single player game is real fun. The loot churn's real cool. Like there's lots of codes you can get, and the combat's pretty fun. I don't know. It's a good game. I don't know how much it's going for. On XBLA right now.
I think
now,
it's $10 on XBLA. Both of them are $10, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty worth it.
All right. So is the first one better than the second one or vice versa?
Oh, I hadn't played much of the second one. I'm mainly on the first one. The second one is more like, I guess it's futuristic.
It's it's like you're in World War II or something.
Yeah, you're in modern day or more or less modern day compared to the last one, which is kind of neat. Like they took the same character and they just put him somewhere else. Fun. but I'll have to... I mean, extrapolating from the first one, I think the second one's going to be pretty good, too.
Dude,
but I don't know.
Ron Gilbert needs to team back up with Tim Schafer at Double Fine and put Death Spank into Sesame Street.
Cookie Spank.
Cookie Spank, yeah.
All right, well, good deal. I've got a short judgment for you guys. I talked about this last week, so I feel like I'm just kind of repeating myself. But I finally got around to playing You Don't Know Jack on Xbox 360. Dude. Like, there's nothing to be said. That game is amazing. Phenomenal. If you're looking for a game to get drunk and play with your friends, that is, seriously, genuinely really, really funny. I mean, that doesn't happen a lot in games. Even, you know, I heard some criticism of Death Spank that it's kind of, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek, kind of corny humor.
It's pretty corny, yeah.
What? You Don't Know Jack. I mean, sometimes they're not all winners, but... But far and away, the jokes in You Don't Know Jack are just absolutely hilarious. For those, I guess if you're tuning in, You Don't Know Jack is a trivia game that came out in the 1990s, which kind of mixes pop culture, and they ask you kind of pop culture questions, but ask them in such a bizarre way that it's very strange and funny and interesting. You can play with up to four people. You can use little screws to screw your friends into answering questions they don't know. Oh, and... Here's an example. There's a game called Dis or Dat, right? So I'm playing this with my four buddies. We're drinking. And on Dis or Dat, you hit one button if this thing that pops up belongs to category A or it belongs to category B. So they tell you the two categories. It was quotes by the Dalai Lama or by Taylor Swift. And it was like... an eye for an eye makes the world blind, or, and you'd have to hit the right button, or I'm so addicted to tiny muffins right now.
I don't know, I'm stumped.
So just tons of funny stuff, lots of history questions, and just a great game. You know, I've been reading reviews for it, and a lot of reviews have been like, oh, it's pretty good, but the online play could be more fully featured, they could have put more. No, shut up. Like, seriously, this game is, for the style of game it is, it's perfect. It's a fun trivia game. Now, all the questions, you know, sometimes trivia games blow because they ask questions randomly. And after you play through about half the game, you start seeing questions pop up over and over. The way they address this is they have episodes, and you play through about 20-minute episodes at a time. And the game has 73 episodes in it. So,
nice.
That's a ton of content. I mean, I've played it basically constantly since I got it, and I'm only on about episode 10 or 15. It's a mountain of content, tons of fun to play. I don't see how they could have done it any better. Double mega thumbs. It's basically if we made trivia, if BDPE made trivia game, it would be You Don't Know Jack. Fucking great.
Nice.
Thumbs up. And nice. $30. That's cheap. Cheap, son.
And it's worth pointing out it worked with your CNET buttons.
Oh, yeah. And also the downloadable content, you buy packs of 10 episodes for $5.
Oh, hot.
So, I mean, each episode is 20 minutes, you know, that's... And I think they've already got one out. I'm sure they'll put more of them out. Just absolutely great. Check it out. You Don't Know Jack.
Nice.
All right. It's time for... do we have a jank? Maybe we don't have a jank. All right, let's skip jank. It's time for feedback. First up, we got a voicemail I got to play for you guys because I just today got the voicemail up and working. Apparently, it was I don't know, I had not registered or not renewed it at some point, and it was down. So, within about 3 hours of me fixing it, TK has called us up. And here, I'm not gonna, it's like a 3-minute voicemail, but I mean, I'll play some of it.
Hey, this is TK. I wanted to elaborate on the point that Blake Buck made, that most gamers nowadays like easy games. And first I was going into a rant, like, no, that is totally wrong. I love hard games. The satisfaction you get when you play a hard game and you know, you beat it. Then I spoke to my mom the other day and... She also likes hard games. I mean, she...
This is the worst.
I bet she does.
This is the worst voice. Just another 4 minutes of this.
She is a master at Contra 4 on DS. That tape's pretty hard. Then later on, she wanted me to get some new games for her, and she said she wanted easy games. And asked her why, and she said that, you know, sometimes I just want to do something, not just... you know,
we're not even halfway through this voicemail.
Making time go by without caring. So I think it is not that people are pussies nowadays. It's just that people sometimes just want to waste some time by doing something, but it can't be anything. It has to be a game and have to have some kind of challenge, but not too hard.
Thank you, TK. You know what, TK, you got like a 60-second limit on your voicemails, dude.
Well, he's got a point. Like, I mean, I think I might have missed. This might have been the episode I missed, but you know, I think even people that value hard games. By the way, TK's mom is fucking metal.
It's pretty metal
for being badass Contra 4. But you know, even people that play these hardcore games, like, they just, you know, every once in a while you get in that mood where it's like the game industry version of just jerking off. Like, you want to get something out of it, but you don't want to really just, I don't know, no effort.
Right. It's a balancing act between like giving them accomplishment, but not like making the accomplishments not feel worthy. You know, like they got them too easy. All right, email-wise, we got a couple here this week because finally got all that heat situated. This comes from Calix. Okay, holy trifecta. Normally, I'd have some witticism about how long you guys have been gone, but are now making your triumphant return. But last night, I had the weirdest dream, and I thought I'd share it with you. See, in the spring quarter, I'm going to be taking a radio lab course, wherein people get to learn about radio production and get hands-on experience with local radio. So last night, I had a dream wherein it was the first day of the spring quarter, and I could not find the radio station. I run around campus in the pouring rain, but find absolutely nothing. Then I spot Blake Buck. Knowing that he is the god of the golden sound waves, I immediately run up to him and ask him if he knows where the radio station is. Of course, Blake said no. Then he gave me a funny look. It was then I realized that I was standing before Lord Buck without any pants on. Take from that what you will, Calix.
this sounds like we might have our first intern.
I think this is like some deep sexual fantasy that he's just trying to work out in his head.
I think now we know where the dick on your avatar came from.
David H., who is a member of Team Blake Smart. By the way, since I'm reading these emails, I will not read if you're Team Blake Dumb. A team of... I'll just change everyone.
We'll read them if it's Team Blake Dumb.
So glad to see the show up again. I've been a fan of BDPE since episode 28. I have two heats for you. Bullet point one, how come iTunes episode 66 downloads episode 65? I swear to God. I put the show up kind of hastily. I had a bunch of things going on. I put it up on Monday, and I had it fixed within maybe 12 hours of me incorrectly posting it. And I've gotten, and about six different people have contacted me, tell me how fucking stupid I am. I fucked up. Okay, it's working now. Just calm down.
Well, that's impressive. So half our listener base just emailed us on that.
Well, the thing that does suck, if you did get the wrong episode, because iTunes always favors local episodes over downloaded episodes, other than going to the site and downloading it, I don't know if or unsubscribing and resubscribing, iTunes doesn't really refresh links, so you might be boned if you got the wrong file, but nothing we can do about it. It's on the site. You guys know how to work this.
All right. Wild Penis writes in, hello, what's his face, poor man, and Justin Fick. I decided the other day, very foolishly, to click a link posted in the forums by Sudo Sushi. The link was to a sound file of Blake Buck's lesson in love. Unfortunately, I was sitting in the university library at the time, and the computer speakers weren't turned off. Now, everyone knows I subscribe to Blake Buck's School of Sex. It's like Miller's School of Game Design, but double. Keep up the great work, Wild Penis.
So you gotta take the good stuff out and leave it out for a while, but then put it back in.
For those of you who don't know what the William Miller School of Game Design is you take the bad parts out, you put good parts in. And the Blake Buck's theory of sex is exactly the same, except
there's a delay in the middle. You gotta wait.
wasn't this also the Walt Disney School of Sex or something? I forget what the fuck it was.
All right, Tim G writes, what up, Mongler Masters? This is Tim here in Minnesota. I've called in before and written as well. I'm still waiting on my T-shirt for the donation to that guy, Asian, that fought cancer and punched it in the face via a marathon of some sort. Well, I'm just glad that that money went into the money hole.
Dude,
the BDPE
that
money
went into
hole.
The BDPE like hosting bills beyond all end.
So he says, okay, well, I'm glad you guys are back. My favorite part of the show is at the beginning when Blake announces what day the podcast is for. I always wonder how far into the future I'm going to be whisked as he announces the date. I can't remember one time that the date was actually the day it was released slash recorded. I don't know how you keep track of the dates and times down there in Mississippi, but maybe Mr. Miller should handle that
part. I swear
part.
To God. Just
keep up the
everybody
good work.
Just, you know, I get one fucking thing wrong. Oh, the show was out on Monday, but you said Wednesday. Blake's an idiot. Fuck you.
Look,
I got
the solution to this. We just do what Ubisoft does with Assassin's Creed. Just give them a window. Be like, this is your podcast news for sometime between March 2011 and April 2012.
Well, should we say the date? I usually say the date is Wednesday, but I post them on Monday. I guess maybe we should say the date. Who cares? Why do you care so much, Tim G? Fuck it, Tim G, not. I just removed him. He can't listen anymore.
I actually think it's kind of endearing. It's one of those things, like, Blake never gets it right because he's dumb. And we all sort of laugh at the beginning of the show. Uh-huh. That's just kind of how it works.
All right. Well, I guess that's all the feedback we have. And I guess that about does it for the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about that?
It's a pretty good show, Blake. Show. Right?
If you want to send us any feedback, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com or now fully functional. We would prefer if under 8 minutes long, the listener line at 845-BATTLE-9. The same number. It was somebody else could have bought that number in the interim, but I got it back. Snaked it up. If you'd like to leave us any feedback or talk to other monglers in the forum, it's bestdamnpodcastever.com. Links over on there to the forum and all sorts of other fun crap to BlakeBuck.com and all that jazz. So from all of us, have we got anything else, guys? I feel like I'm forgetting something.
I don't think so.
That's it.
All right, well, from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Justin Fick.
And we'll see you next time.